Good morning, everybody. It's December 7th, 2021, the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. So here's to the greatest generation who made the world safe in those days a long, long time ago now. So few of them left. Worth mentioning, I got to tell you. It's something we shouldn't forget, and we'll move on from there, but thanks to all of them, in memory, etc. All right, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We got a show for you today with part of the Rosen Publishing Group at West 44 Books. We're going to talk to the Associate Editorial Director, Katie McEnany, over there, and also with Sandy Vann, who's one of their authors, a former special ed teacher, and they work a lot with books for marginalized groups, young readers, et cetera, et cetera. It's really great stuff, especially these days. So we're going to have a really, really nice conversation about publishing and writing accessible and relatable fiction for teen readers. And the other thing I'm loving is that both of them are from Buffalo. And just last night, my beloved New England Patriots played a game in Buffalo, and I'm going to curious. I just can't remember the score. Perhaps they'll be able to fill me in, these two wonderful Buffalonians. All right, so we'll find out in just a second. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Our new issue of the magazine, Equity and Access, beautiful new issue, is up on site as of this week. It's just go over there, take a look, ace-ed.org. Flip through the magazine. It's a really nice issue. All right, we archive all our podcasts over there. This one will be archived over there as well. All right, you can also link over to seltoday.org, our social emotional learning site. So a lot of stuff going on, ace-ed.org. And let's see, I'll get Sandy and Katie here on the line. There we go. And Katie, let me ask you, I just can't remember, what was the score of last night's game? Who won?
Oh, now you're just rubbing it in.
I would never do that. Perhaps Sandy can help me. Sandy, in the Bills-Patriots game yesterday, I can't remember who won. Sandy?
I don't know. It was snowing too hard. I don't remember.
There you go. Okay. I'll look in the paper. It's barely mentioned here in the New England press.
I'm sure.
So we'll see what happens, because last thing I would want to do is rub in something like that. How's the weather today, by the way, Katie? Better than yesterday?
Not as windy as yesterday. Ooh. Yesterday was definitely an interesting day for a football game.
Yeah, those goalposts were rocking and socking yesterday. It's great. It's a pleasure to have both of you here today. And, of course, if the Patriots had lost, we would have had to cancel the show. But we'll just move on from that.
Of course.
No problem whatsoever. This is going to be a fun show, I can tell. Katie, talk to me about, you're the associate editorial director over at my good friends Rosen Publishing, all right? But you're also the associate editorial director at West 44 Books. And I think we need to explain the connection between Rosen and West 44. Can you do that for me?
Yes. Yeah, so Rosen is kind of like the parent company over, and then there's also Enslow. So West 44
right,
is the imprint of Enslow.
So
West 44 is a little.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, West 44 is a little different because we do fiction. And it kind of appeals to both a trade and educational audience.
Right, and Rosen is the parent company.
Yes.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to figure out. Roger is a friend of mine, and I know he's a good daddy, so that works out great. All right, Roger?
Oh,
Rosen.
Yeah,
he is good. And Sandy's got an interesting background here. You're an author. You're a counselor. Are you still a counselor now? Like a school counselor or a private counselor?
I'm a counselor at SUNY Erie Community College. Yep.
Oh, wow. A higher education counselor. How interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, SUNY Buffalo?
At SUNY Erie Community College.
Mm-hmm. Say it again, SUNY. What was the next word?
Formerly ECC, but we go by SUNY Erie now. We're the community college.
Okay, great. I didn't know that. Thank you very much. Yep. And you were a former special ed teacher, right?
Yes. I worked for about 10 years in special education.
Okay, you know you're going to heaven for doing that.
Thank you.
You know that. Even though you're a Bills fan, I mentioned my name. Okay, mention my name. Okay, it's good. I'm only kidding. I like the Bills. Okay, I do. When the Patriots aren't winning, I want the Bills. Okay, I like them, but not this year.
You got to love the underdog.
I always loved them since the Marv Levy era. Okay,
yeah.
I thought they were just great. They went to the Super Bowl 3 times. It just, they didn't win. It aggravated. They're a good team, and it's fun. So I have a soft spot for the Bills, but not when they're playing the Patriots. And we'll just move on from that, okay? Okay. Good sportsmanship. It says we should do that. All right? You guys write for you can put it all into perspective, but a lot of your work has to do with relatable fiction for young adult readers, but particularly, and correct me if I'm wrong here, for marginalized, underrepresented groups. Would that be a good way to put this, Katie?
I think that I think that the We Need Diverse Books movement was so amazing for just shining a light on the fact that there, you know, that underrepresented communities in literature needed a voice. And so we are, you know, always striving to make our books as diverse as possible and to represent as many situations as possible, either people from different socioeconomic backgrounds or people of different races, different things that teens today are concerned about increasingly in the past couple of years, like climate anxiety, gender identity, gun violence. And so we try to bring those things into our YA books as much as possible.
Are you depressed? Well, those things are very depressing. I mean, I'm sure these are uplifting books. They've got to be,
yeah,
right?
I mean, I think we tackle tough topics in a way that that sheds like a little bit of hope, like for the next generation. I feel like this next generation, they're just like activists, and they're just like doing, and they're going to make a difference. So I think I come out of every book feeling a little spark of hope.
Bless you. It's good to get that out there. And you know, you said something interesting, and I think it is important. I'm just going to use African American kids. I think it's very important for African American kids, i.e., any group, okay, to see themselves as the heroes of a book, as the characters in a book, etc. But I just can't talk about this side. The other side of the coin is, it seems to me it's just as important for white kids or Latino kids or whatever other group you want to say, Asian kids, okay, to see black kids or change any of those around also as major characters and heroes in books. I think it's a good two-sided coin. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, like, you know, that there shouldn't just be books for boys or books for, you know, African-American kids. It's books that appeal to everyone that have underrepresented people as the heroes. And I think that that is very important in representing is, you know, for everyone to read these books.
It is.
And for everyone to, you know, see that diversity.
Yeah, and I think back to when I was a kid in Philadelphia public schools in the 1950s. All right, and we all, I'm sure, were reading Dick and Jane, okay? But, of course, my school was all white, a real nice neighborhood. All right, and Dick and Jane, I mean, my neighborhood wasn't that nice. It was a city neighborhood. But Dick and Jane were the quintessential kids. And I often think, now that I'm an adult, what that must be like if you were an inner-city kid learning to read Dick and Jane, okay? And that really has to have an impact on you as you grow up. It's just... when you look back on it, it was so absurd. I'm so glad you guys do what you do. It's just important. Sandy, let me ask you this, okay? And this is key. Where do you get your ideas from? And I often, my wife is in education. She reads young adult novels. She enjoys them a lot. But what makes it a young adult novel? Is it just that the protagonists are young adults? When you sit down to write, what goes through your head?
Yeah, so usually in young adult, the protagonist is in high school, so typically between 13 and 17 years old. So I get my ideas, my inspiration from students that I've worked with in the past. I have a teenage son at home, so observing him and his friends and the situations that they get themselves into. So just kind of being observant and looking at the teens and what they're, like Katie said, what they're struggling with, what they want to read about, what they want to talk about and know about.
It's excellent. I'm going to I have a little list here. You wrote a book called Second in Command, right?
Yes.
And then Listen Up in 2020. Then Everything It Takes, which is going to be released now. It's released now. Congratulations, right?
Yes. Thank you. It just came out last week.
Literally, yeah. Well, congratulations. So December, I didn't realize
Thank
that
you.
As I was reading the list. And that's cool. We'll talk about that one. And then also Caught in the Haze, which will come out in 2022. But your newest book, Everything It Takes. Again, just new released from West Book. What's it about? West 44 Books. What's it about?
So Everything It Takes is about Lily. She is really a driven student. She wants to be a lawyer, but she doesn't really have a social life. She doesn't have any extracurricular activities. So when she goes to apply for college, the admissions counselors are, you know, questioning what else she's doing besides, you know, studying all the time.
Yeah,
so she decides to join the environmental club. She's had some failures in the past with trying to join clubs. So she joins the environmental club and gets involved with a group of students who don't always stay within the lines. They're very passionate activists, and so she starts to kind of question, well, I want to be in this group and do these activist type things, but I'm worried about, you know, what if I am taking risks and I could jeopardize my future. So
Cool. And how long a book is that, if I may ask?
How long?
Yeah.
So all of West 44 verse novels are all the same length. They're all 10,000 words, about 200 pages. And we stay within those guidelines to make them accessible for the students who our target audience, which are high school, middle school and high school students with lower reading levels. But honestly, anyone can enjoy them. I've had adults read my books and really enjoy them.
Of course, and go back to Katie. Katie, is that like the attention span of a teen reader, about 200 pages? I'm serious.
I mean, I think that it's an I think it's an accessible amount of pages. And there's only about 50 words on average per page. So some pages will be, you know, only like a sentence or two, and then some will be a little bit longer. But on average, it's about 50 words. And I think 200 pages is really the sweet spot, because when a kid picks up a 200-page book, it looks like they're picking up any other book on the shelf, you know, that they're not reading a high-low book,
high-interest level, low.
Yeah, so it looks like they're reading a book, but there's only 10,000 words, so they're really flying through the pages. They can finish the book, and it looks like a whole book, which
and,
they did,
This is really cool. I'm learning stuff here, okay, because this is not my bailiwick here. I think it's really cool. So there's a term you guys gave me. It's called high-low fiction. And let me take a shot here, okay? That high-low fiction is the high end of a topic, but, if I may, a lower reading level. Am I correct, or am I totally off base?
Yeah, it's high interest. So high interest, so this would interest a teen, but a low reading level. So generally our books have a reading level of 2 to 3, grades 2 to 3, but an interest level of grades 9 to 12 for our YA books.
Wow, that is really interesting. And how do the kids and the teachers respond to them? Okay, do the kids know that it's do kids feel comfortable with it, that although the topic, again, is high – okay, as Sandy just said, it's a lower reading level. Do you think they know that, or how do they respond to that type of thing? I like it.
Yeah. I think that the lower reading level isn't like in your face. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not always 3-word sentences. Every once in a while, there's a 3-word sentence. But it's not like in your face labeled high low. So, you know, if a teacher or a librarian just has this stocked on their shelf, or like hands it to a student who has a lower reading level and says, try this, you know, they don't need to be like, this is super easy reading. But it is easier reading. And then they've got the added bonus of it's a topic that's interesting to them.
And is the goal, I don't know a lot about this, is the goal to constantly improve their reading level as they go along? In other words, how does it work with a reading teacher? Maybe that's what I'm asking. I don't know what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I would say that it meets them where they are. And, like, the sentences are short. There's lots of white space on the page. There's lots of movement through the pages because there's not as much, and things are broken up into stanzas. But then also, you know, we generally try to keep the words that we use at a lower level, but, you know, we definitely pepper in some bigger words with context. And so I think it is a learning experience for anyone who does read. And there have been people who have told me, I've never read a book, and I read this book
exactly.
You know, one of the West 44 books. I've never read a book before, and I read this book and enjoyed it.
I think it's great. You know, if we get people reading, I think it's great. Sandy, do you write high-low verse?
I do. So, yeah, I was actually going to say the same thing that Katie just said. I've talked to classrooms, and I've had students come up to me and say, this is the first time I've ever finished a book, cover to cover.
Wow.
And honestly, the whole class will read it, and the beauty is there's poetry, so the teacher can arrange the lesson based on that. They can talk about the different styles of poetry within the book and different figurative language. So there's ways to kind of take it to the next level if the teacher chooses to do that in their classroom. It's a great feeling to know that a student was excited about reading a book, someone that maybe doesn't usually pick up books or likes to read.
I think it's great. And when you just said poetry in the book, what does that mean?
So verse novels are stories told through poems. So every page or every few pages is a poem. So the story goes, it's told like a regular, you know, a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end, but it's all poetry.
You have to give me an example. Help me. Sandy, help me. Give me an example.
Most of it is free verse, so it isn't a specific type of poetry, but I also put a lot of haikus in my book. So instead of a chapter, there's poems. And usually, like I said, there's maybe a page long, they may be two or three pages long, but that tells the story. But it's all, there's no traditional prose, it's all poetry.
And now I'm going to ask the next question. Why? There must be a reason. Why? I'm serious. Why?
Poetry, aside from being poetry, and it's wonderful, there's so much white space on the page, which is really nice for struggling readers because they can, you know, they don't have to stress out about all the words that are on the page. And so it also allows you to play around a little bit with form. It's concise, so it gets right to the point. You have to tell a story quickly and concisely. And so that's the beauty of poetry. And I think it really lends itself to these high-low books because you're able to write at a lower level but really still get that powerful meaning and those storylines in there in a tight space.
You know, this is tricky. It's trickier than I thought. I mean, it's really cool, okay, that you have to do this. And I love what you said about poetry, and I never realized until you just said it, that there's so much more white space, okay, on a page of poetry than there is in a typical book, all right, which doesn't frighten a lower-level reader. I thought that was a really interesting comment. I never – Does everybody know that but me? Katie, does everybody know that but me?
I've loved verse for many years, so I feel like I have a leg up in the knowing what verse is department. But it really just is an amazing tool because I think that some people will be like, oh, it's a poetry book, and it's not a poetry book. It's a book made with free verse poems. And those stanzas, like right now, teens are very visually, you know, like they're visual learners, many of them. So poems are a little bit more visual. Each page is different. And then each stanza is almost like a tweet, you know. It's like, you know, short stanzas, something digestible. And you can take, you know, start off and leave off, you know, pretty easily. Like I'm just going to read a couple poems. And that's, like, much easier than I'm going to read a whole chapter of prose, like, from the left to right side of the page.
And I'm trying to say, you have to help me here, because I'm trying to think back. This was not the way I was taught at all. In fact, I don't ever remember even being taught poetry or prose, to be perfectly honest, okay? And I'm so old, they may not have been invented yet, all right? But I don't remember, okay? Actually, this to me is extremely interesting because from the way you're saying it, a quote, if I may, the time has come. Because you said kids are more visual probably than ever. They tweet and write in short bursts, okay, using electronic writing text and all that sort of stuff, all right? And the way you've positioned the West 44 books are right in line with the way kids are now, okay, using something very old. Have I got this right, Sandy? Have I got this right?
It's an interesting way to look at it, but yes, I do. I mean, poetry is an old form of writing and literature,
yeah.
And it's for a lot of people it can be scary, but when you look at it, it can be also very accessible, depending on how you write it and depending on how it's presented. And I love that their verse novels are having this big moment now, and students are reading more and more poetry, because I think it's something we all should have in our lives.
This is really fascinating. This is really fascinating. I got to tell you, this makes a lot. I'm just learning stuff here. I mean, it just makes sense in this day and age as to what you're doing. Okay, when we look at this type of thing, what are the most popular? You said a few of them. What are the best topics to grab kids' attention these days? Is it the world we live in? And remember, a lot of this, you're dealing with some marginalized groups, okay? In a Latino barrio, it's different from suburban New York City up along the Hudson, okay? How do you decide on topics and that sort of thing? And I'll ask Katie. She's the editor, associate editorial director, Katie McEnany. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'll speak to that. I try to get a good mix of topics per season. But it just seems like topics that teens are interested in right now. Gender identity is a big one. Violence, gun violence in neighborhoods, violence in relationships. Definitely climate change, and that's what everything it takes is about, is like environmental worries. And then addiction, family issues, divorce. So these are just some are,
wow,
you know, books that, like, topics that are, like, you know, a tale as old as time. And then other ones are, you know, things that, you know, they're having their moment right now because it's necessary. And I think that just having, we have a lot of own voices, authors from different racial backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds. You know, different LGBTQ authors. So just, you know, giving a voice to as many different kinds of people, and then hopefully it reaches as many different kinds of readers.
I think it's fascinating. And let me throw something else into the mix, an illustrated novel. Okay, do you guys work on that at all? I mean, that's another big popular thing these days. What I used to call a comic book when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Other imprints of Enslow and Rosen are working on, like, more graphic novels.
I couldn't think of the word. I said illustrated graphic.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, West 44 doesn't have, like, purely illustrated graphic novels right now. We do have chapter books, middle grade books that have, like, spot illustration, but it's not the graphic novel format.
And actually, I'm going to ask you that question. Back in the old days, novels used to be really illustrated. I'm thinking like N.C. Wyeth, et cetera. Okay? And then that stopped, all right, for a zillion years and maybe forever. Where is that, Katie, now with kids' eyeballs? Is illustration in a novel something that's going to come back, or has come back? You know, like where you'd be reading about Robin Hood, there'd be a picture of Robin Hood with Little John, you know, the old illustrated.
Yeah, I love the illustrated classics.
Yeah, me too.
So I think that, you know, like I said, I think that teen readers and, you know, younger readers in general are just very visual. So that's why we like to put a lot of spot illustration into our chapter books and middle grade books. It just kind of breaks up the page, makes a little bit more, you know, white space on the page or illustrated space on the page, and then can capture the visual imagination of the reader.
Wow, that's cool. And I want to get back to Sandy. Sandy, you're writing a book called Caught in the Haze. And in relation to all the topics Katie was saying, what's Caught in the Haze about? Coming out next year, June 1st. You're obviously working on it now.
Caught in the Haze is about hazing in sports. So it's about a young man who it tries out for the varsity soccer team, and there's hazing taking place at his school, and he's kind of stuck. You know, he wants to make the team, but he also, you know, doesn't want to go through the hazing process. And I did a lot of research when I was writing this book, and it's upsetting because you always think of hazing. You think of fraternities and sororities at colleges, but there's hazing that takes place at high schools, in sports, and also in music. And it's very upsetting. It was a very upsetting book to research for, but I think it's really important because I think students need to be able to see that these sorts of things are happening and give that, you know, an opportunity to talk about it and hopefully make some changes.
There was just a huge story in the Boston area, I'm not going to say the district, about one of the ice hockey teams at the high school doing exactly that. Okay, it was huge, huge news in Boston area, and the coaches were fired, and there was a lot of controversy and lawsuits and all that sort of thing, so you're right on target with that. Okay, and that is, by the way, that's not good. All right, and it's interesting. That's what the haze means. Thank you. I thought it could mean also like smoking marijuana or something, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, it does not.
Look, I'm a child of the 60s. Give me a break, okay? Give me a break. You know, it's real. It's just really interesting. How long does it take you, Sandy, to write a book, one of these books, 200 pages?
You know, it's interesting because I've written four now, and each of them have taken a different amount of time, and it's really based on deadlines. So I would say, you know, probably around 2 months. We're required to submit an outline in advance and a query basically out, you know, saying what the book will be about. And we do character outlines and all that up front, which really helps because then it keeps me organized while I write. And so generally about 2 months to draft, and then we go through an editing process that could be 1 or 2 months afterwards, where it's kind of Katie and I go back and forth talking about what needs to be fixed, and you know, whether it be with plot or, you know, specific words or making sure that the page count and the word count is correct. So, yeah, I mean, it could really it's a little quicker than writing a traditional prose novel, but I would say the whole process is maybe about 4 months. Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. What comes first with the idea, Katie or Sandy? Do you approach Katie or does Katie approach you? Sandy, we need another
Katie
book, or Katie, I got another book idea. Which one is it?
Kind of. Katie usually puts out a call for, you know, people who have ideas, and you put together a pitch and with a general idea, and usually the first 500 to 1,000 words, and she says, yes, this is what we're looking for, or, you know, maybe next time, because like she said, she likes to keep things different each season. So, you know, that's where it starts. It starts with pitching the idea to her and her accepting it.
I think it's cool. And I got to ask you a question, since you're a community college counselor, CCC, if I may. All right, I like community colleges. I think they're so darn important. All right, and I'm curious. You're a writer for students, okay, who have a lower reading level. And I have heard from several friends who are community college professors that, and not necessarily in yours, that the kids are reading at a much lower level than they need to be for good college work. What are you finding? You know, it's a combination of all your things coming together with that question, Sandy. Well, what's going on at your community college, Erie? Just I'm curious about that.
You know, we do. We have a lot of students here that are second language speakers or third or fourth language, so English is not their primary language.
Right.
So I think these books can be great for a student like that. We do have students that have come from high school, particularly after the pandemic, where they kind of lost almost 2 years of in-person high school education, where they're really struggling. They're struggling with reading. They're struggling with writing. And, you know, our English professors have had to make some adjustments. We do have some non-credited, you know, remedial English classes that are offered to students. We have programs in place to help students, you know, because we also have a pretty large population of students coming with GEDs. So, you know, I think as a community college, we have the opportunity to have take different approaches. But, yeah, it's difficult because to read and write at a college level, you know, you need to have been able to be successful in high school. And it kind of always goes back to when you were in high school, were you able to read things that were at your level and work up from there? And did you have teachers who could support you? So it's why I'm so happy to be part of this because it gives teachers an opportunity to really meet the students where they are and work up from there.
It really does, and it's so important. And, you know, everybody deserves a great education. This really pushes it right along. I just think it's great. Ladies, thank you very much. Before I leave, Katie, okay, we've got Everything It Takes is coming out. Are there any other books you want to talk about that are coming out from West?
Yes, yes. So this month, Tough as Lace comes out, and that one's about anxiety in high school and sports. It's the main character is a lacrosse star who starts having panic attacks. And I think that the subject of anxiety is just so important right now because, I mean, many kids are coming back into school for the first time since being at home for an entire, you know, year.
Yep.
And there's just like a lot of anxiety going around. And so I think that that book is going to be really important to talk about just mental health. And yeah, so that one comes out, came out last week, and then we have more books coming out in February, and I'm just excited about all of them. So you can check it out at west44books.com.
West44books.com. All right, now that one was Tough as Lace. All right, and then Sandy's book is Everything It Takes. Okay, good stuff. Yeah. You guys are really good. I really learned a lot. This was fun. Thank you both.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
I really, really enjoyed it.
Thanks for having
us. Okay, and good luck with the Bills. I hope they wild card in. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
Okay? You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay? Thanks, ladies. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was fun. All right? Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Sandy. West44books.com. They're all part of the overall group is Rosen Publishing Group, Roger Rosen's group. Great stuff. All right, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Everything's over there, including the new issue of our magazine, Equity and Access. Please read it, enjoy it. You'll love it. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs.